Conference Committee on File 3222 to order. And we're going to start out with Mr. Giel giving us a review of the side-by-side comparisons. But you can do it very briefly.
Absolutely. You want the recommendations of the Conference Committee? Okay. Mr. Chairman, the recommendations of the Conference Committee are Sections 1, 2, and 3. Senate language are in. Section 4 is replaced by an EC 827 amendment that was suggested by the House. It's on page 2, line 26.
So let's have it distributed now.
Section 5, Senate only, is in.
Could you hold on just a second?
Sure.
Where the people are here, the item we're talking about is on page 2, lines 222 of the Article 1 amendment. Excuse me, 226 to 229. And back to Mr. Giel.
Section 5 was Senate only. That was in. After Section 5, we're inserting language on a fee adjustment regarding the apportionment of fees between various boards with respect to professional liability insurance coverage. That's on page 3, line 11. Then back to the side-by-side, Senate Section 6 was adopted rather than the House Article 1, Section 25. Senate Section 7 is out. House Section 1 was moved to health care reform. House Section 2 is in. It's identical. On page 4, the side-by-side, Sections 3, 4, and 5 in the House are identical, so they're in. Page 5, Sections 6 and 7 are identical. They're in. Senate 14 was Senate only, and it's in. On the next page, we took the Senate slight language difference in Section 15. House 9, 10, and 11 are in. They're identical. Senate 19 is in. We took that because of a minor drafting difference. Same with Section 20. We took the Senate. Page 7. House 14, 15, 16, and 17 are in. They're identical. Page 8, 18, 19, 20, and 21 are in. They're identical. And page 9, Senate 29 is in. House 22 is identical. It's in. Senate 31 is in. Senate 32, we took that instead of House 23 because of some added language on the Senate side about dentists and oral health. House 24 is in. It was identical. On page 10, we deleted House 25 because we took the mostly identical language in Senate Section 6. House 26 is in. It was identical. On page 11, Senate 35 was Senate only. We took that. It deals with dispute resolution. On page 12, House 27 and 28 are in. They're identical. House 29 was House only. It's in. Senate 38 was Senate only, and it's in. Page 13, House 30 and 31 are in. They're identical. House 41 is moved to Article 3. so it's not in this article anymore. House 32 and 33, house only, they're in. Page 14, Senate 42 is in. It's nearly identical to house language in the appropriations bill that was reassigned from there. Senate 43, Senate only, that's in. Senate 44 is also moved to Article 3. And after Senate 44, we have another section that is appropriating the revenue from that fee section that we added earlier in the bill. And Section 45, Senate only, the repealers, that's in. That completes Article 1.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have a question on page 2. And this is, I think, probably best for department staff. I want to make sure I'm on the right page. I'm sorry. Page 4. It's House Section 4 and Senate Section 10, and the language is identical. And I'm just wondering, paragraph B refers to some ag issues, and I'm wondering if the department can tell me how many farmers would be denied medical assistance as a result of this change. If there's someone from the department who might know that.
Chairs, I'm Kim Carlin from Minnesota Department of Human Services, and we wouldn't know how many people would be out because of this. This is just a definition of home for the purpose of the home equity limit. It adds an agricultural homestead definition to limit what we're calling a home for purposes of the home equity limit. So it actually reduces the amount of the property that we look at for the home equity.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move adoption of Article 1 as described by Mr. Beal.
Article 1 has been moved. Any discussion of that? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting Article 1 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Article 1 is adopted. And Mr. Giel, if you'd go on to Article 2.
Mr. Chair and members, Article 2 is a House-only article related to health occupations.
Okay.
It's my understanding that this the fiscal impact.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. We've asked for fiscal notes on this section of the bill. Our understanding is that they have fiscal impact, and the instructions are that anything that has fiscal impact in the bill should be removed. Is there any disagreement with that?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chair and members, the next section is the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. We compared this to House File 2996. The first provision, actually there's a handful of provisions that deal with a patient who is being committed, being allowed the option to stay in a corrections facility instead of being transferred to a treatment facility. Those provisions are 1, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and 11. And those provisions are also in the public safety policy bill. Staff would recommend if there's any, for example, in Section 8 and Section 10, there are differences in the House and Senate language. The House language was adopted, so the staff would recommend where the provisions are not identical with regard to these to adopt the House language. So Section 1 is identical. Section 8, there's differences. It's Staff recommends the House language.
What are the differences?
Semicolons, commas, capital letters, very, very technical. So, Mr. Chair and members, that would be Section 1, 7 are identical, 8, 9 is identical, and 10 would be the House language.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Berglund.
Ms. White, are there any differences other than punctuation in Article 10?
Not with regard to those provisions. Then there's Senate-only provisions that I'll go over. Senate-only Section 2 prevents a commissioner from transferring individuals who are not committed as a sexual psychopathic personality or sexually dangerous person, or where a court order is for a pending commitment to an they're prohibited from putting them in the Minnesota sex offender program. Section 3 is a Senate only. It requires a commissioner to establish the Minnesota State Industries at sex offender program facilities.
Well, this is a different issue. This was a department bill. It relates only to the Minnesota sex offender program. It has nothing to do with corrections.
I went over the corrections provisions. Now I'm going through the entire article. It looked as though you didn't want to adopt those, so that's why I went on.
Are there any differences?
Semicolons and commas.
Okay. Then I think the Senate would be perfectly fine with adopting what was done in the other conference committee.
Do you want me to go over those one more time just so you know what you're adopting? Section 1, 7, House 8, 9, House 10, and 11. And then I'll go over, after those are adopted, I'll go through the rest of the article.
Senator Berkley.
I would move adoption of those articles, or those sections.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So adopted those sections.
Okay, then there's... Mr. Chair and members, there's two Senate-only provisions. The one I just went over prohibits a commissioner from transferring someone who hasn't been committed as a sexually dangerous person or a psychopathic personality to the sex offender program.
I think this was requested by the Ombudsman for mental health and has been worked out with the department.
The next section is a Senate-only section, and it requires the Commissioner of Human Services to establish the Minnesota State Industries at the Sex Offender Program facility.
I've got a slight amendment to this section that I might offer right now. On page 48, line 10, it says the Commissioner of Human Services may consult with stakeholders. I just spoke with the department briefly. That should be the commissioner shall consult with stakeholders. So on line 48, page 10, replace may with shall.
Do that amendment. We have to come back here tomorrow at 10 o'clock to sign.
Tonight.
Do you know?
Yeah, sure.
I still want to make that motion.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Thank you.
I think the department should duly note the concern.
That's what I was just going to add. That the department shall. Consult with the stakeholders, but we need to get things done.
Then, Mr. Chair, on to page 17. There's several Senate-only sections, Section 7, 8, 9, 12, 13, and 14, that modify the process for an individual committed as a sexually dangerous person or mentally ill and dangerous and sexually dangerous person who is petitioning to either transfer out of the secure facility or for a provisional discharge. to require the recommendation of the Judicial Review Board to go to the judicial panel, appeal panel, instead of the commissioner, and all those sections relate to that issue. And then the next Senate-only section is Section 15. It clarifies that a person who has served in a sex offender program or is on a court hold order for commitment is not a vulnerable adult until it's determined through an examination. And this modifies the definition of vulnerable adult. And on to page 18, Senate-only Section 16 requires the Commissioner of Human Services to convene a working group to develop standards and guidelines for the operations at the Minnesota Sex Offender Program and report by February 1st of 2009 the proposed standards and guidelines to the legislature.
I believe all this language has been worked out with the Department of Human Services, and so will in the future perhaps help reduce costs, and in the meantime it will reduce some paperwork, which always reduces some costs. So I guess are we done with that article?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And I would move adoption of that article as indicated by Ms. White.
Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So we've adopted that Article 2.
And, Mr. Chair and members, I think Senator Berglund has an amendment to the
yes, Mr. Chairman, I think the agreement with the House was that all of the MFIP provisions except for one would be conferenced in a different conference committee, and so the amendment that I have would be to place into the bill the remaining item related to MFIP. It's a RER 92 amendment.
Is it distributed? Mr. Chair, I think maybe it's been distributed. Okay. It's called Article 4 MFIP. And what this does, it modifies the definition of work activity for purposes of the Minnesota Family Investment Program.
So I move adoption of the amendment.
So Senator Berglund has moved the RER 92 amendment to Article 4. And is there any discussion of that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 92 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, there's also an Article 3 amendment.
So, Mr. Gill.
It's healthcare program management. It's basically the bill that was based on the legislative auditor's report on healthcare management, designed to improve administration of managed care and county-based purchasing. And this amendment reflects the language that was approved today by the Senate Finance Committee to make it budget neutral. How much detail you want, I could point out some of the changes that people aren't too familiar with. In Section 7, that starts on page 3.16, we've deleted the Senate language that would have required county-based purchasing plans to have reserves similar to the managed care plan. So that's no longer in the language. And then...
Mr. Chairman, can you elaborate on that a little bit? What does that mean?
Mr. Gill.
Well, Senator Corrine, the this would leave the law the way it stands right now, in my understanding, is that county-based purchasing plans don't have to have reserves to the same extent that managed care plans do. They can depend on, like, the county tax base as their reserve. And this bill originally would have changed that, but that language has been taken out of this amendment.
And then, Mr. Chairman?
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Giel, then, so they would have to have reserves just like all the other health plans, right?
Under the language that's no longer in here, they would have, but that language is gone.
I didn't even think it was the same as other health plans. I thought it was less, but at least they would have had to have some reserves.
Where was this language worked on?
Well, this was a Prettner-Solon bill in the Senate. And
okay. This is the OLA bill.
And it passed today.
Representative Huntley bill in the House, but the bill is totally fee-supported, and so I believe there were some parts taken out because of the House request.
Senator Corrin.
Mr. Chairman, I still don't follow that. So they do or don't have to have reserves?
They do not under current law, and
they
do not under this amendment.
Under this amendment, they would not.
Why do we want to do that?
The OLA recommended that they have reserves, but we have not followed with this amendment. We are not following his recommendation on that particular issue. And I think the feeling is that they do have property tax to back up any deficits they have.
Mr. Chairman, that concerns me, though, when you have to follow. Who's doing this amendment? Are you doing that, Senator Burbank?
The amendment was worked out between Senator Prettner-Solon and Representative Huntley as chief authors, I believe. And so I thought everybody involved had more or less worked on this, but I guess the heads are shaking no.
Mr. Chairman, I would just say I'm not comfortable with this amendment. I know that one of my counties now has to cough up $1 million, and if it has to fall back on the property taxes, that concerns me. So,
Representative Huntley, since you were involved in these discussions, do you know why that provision was removed from this?
Senator Berglund and members, it was a negotiated agreement to try to get the bill to pass, and I think the feeling is that they have adequate reserves in their property tax base.
So was objection by someone in the House to leaving that in the bill? I guess the issue here, Mr. Chairman and Senator Coring, is if the provisions that are in this bill, in this amendment, are not placed in this bill, then I don't think that the bill will pass, because it doesn't have. It has passed the House in the omnibus finance bill. And so they do not have a separate vehicle alive anymore over there. It is moving through the Senate separately as a separate bill, and that's fine. We can pass it in the Senate as a separate bill, but it will have nothing to match up with in the House.
Senator Corrin, if we take that out, it basically leaves the situation the way it currently is.
And the way, Mr. Chairman, the way it is now is what? That they don't have to have reserves?
They do not have to have reserves. That's the current way that the county-based purchasing is regulated.
Mr. Chairman, could we have any testimony? I guess I'd like to hear from somebody. Would that be possible? Or I
think it would be, because this is an issue that is not been in this conference committee up till now.
When you said it passed in the House
as a part of the finance bill.
And in the Senate, where is it?
Just passed out of finance this morning.
With this exact language?
I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, I did misspeak on this. In the language that passed the finance committee this morning, the reserve language was still in the bill, but it's not in this amendment.
I thought this was the reserve language.
I think there are other provisions in here about more accountability through the Departments of Health, Commerce, and Human Services, but
Can we hear from somebody, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Would that be okay? Or I don't know who wants to. Oh, Mr. Lehman wants
Mr. Lehman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you. Tom Lehman, I'm here this evening on behalf of Prime West and South Country Health Alliance, two county-based purchasing organizations that represent 23 rural counties, including counties in Senator Coring's district, Senator Lori's district, and numerous other rural members. If I could just briefly address Article 3. Chairman Huntley is absolutely correct. This is largely language that came from the Office of the Legislative Auditor's report that recommended a number of changes to enhance oversight and other things related to both private health plans and county-based purchasing organizations, and that bill has been moving along through the process. The concern that Prime West and South Country have, and it's a very serious concern, relates to new language on page 4 of the A1 amendment. This is language that was not included in the Senator Solon's bill or Representative Huntley's bill as introduced. If you look at the language starting on line 4.10 down to 4.19, this is new language that was seen for the first time this morning in the Senate Finance Committee, as Senator Berglund noted. It imposes new fees on South Country and Prime West to the total of $262,000. There are several concerns with this. One, obviously, it's a little disconcerting to have significant new fees imposed on an organization without any foresight, warning, public hearing, public notice. Secondly, and more troubling, is the notion of the Office of the Legislative Auditor's report was to look at the administrative costs and the administrative functions of both private health plans and county-based purchasing organizations. The concern that some have raised is the administrative fees and the administrative costs of county-based purchasing organizations. And it's sort of a non sequitur here that this language is intended to deal with administrative costs, and as far as the county-based purchasing organizations go, it is seeking to deal with administrative costs by adding $262,000 in new administrative costs. And maybe I'm missing something, but that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. We are very concerned about this. It's brand-new language, has not passed either body. I think that I can't speak for the House, but I know Senator Pogemiller last week warned conference committees to not bring in new language that had not passed either body, and this is brand-new language that was introduced for the first time this morning.
Mr. Chairman?
I would...
Can I make a motion?
No, your chair.
Why don't you just... Still get to...
Well, Representative Huntley, why don't we just keep going through the testimony and we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe this can't be in this conference committee report. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask another question?
Warren.
Mr. Chairman, this is to Senator Berglund. You and I both serve on, on your budget division and Senator Marty's health policy. I don't recall seeing any of this go through either one of those committees.
Yes, it did.
It did?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
And my understanding was that this
the
was...
The way this was? The way
well, this is sort of a... This has sort of been conference between the chief authors, which oftentimes has to happen when something is getting added into a conference committee report. I wouldn't want to sit here and decide for the people that worked on it what they want to do about their compromises.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just jump in at that point. We have not been part of these conversations at all. The first time I saw this, the first time Prime West and South Country saw this language and was aware that this was even being considered was when Senator Solon introduced it this morning in the Finance Committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berger.
Mr. Chairman, I do believe that everyone knew that this would have to be done through fees, that whatever was in the bill would have to be done through fees. It was removed from the omnibus finance budget balancing bill, and so I think the work has been done here to try to finance it through fees instead of through appropriations.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coring.
Can I ask another question? I guess, you know, the fees, yeah, I'm troubled by that, but I'm more troubled by, I guess I'm still don't, I'm having a hard time grasping this. So we are not requiring county-based purchasing health plans to have reserves or not? I still don't understand.
Current law, which we're not changing on this item, would not require them to have reserves.
Well, I think they should have reserves.
Well, so does the legislative auditor, but we couldn't get that through the House.
Well, I'm not going to vote for this amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I suggest we take a little more testimony on this.
Thank you, members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, members. My name is Phil Griffin. I represent UCARE of Minnesota, but I'm also appearing today on behalf of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. And Madam Chair and members, Mr. Chair and members, as you outlined so well, Senator Berglund, this is part of what has been considered as Representative Huntley and Senator Solon's bill. As it moved through the bodies, it has seen many changes. One of the changes which we as health plans did not like was the provision to cover the fees and the cost of the bill, which you either need to cover in this bill or you will put the bill out of balance without raising those fees. But the original proposal that came up in the full Senate budget committee, was to suggest that the health plans pay for the cost of the regulation of the county-based purchasing organizations, which we strongly opposed. While we're not in the position to say how you ought to impose those fees, we have been working with both Representative Huntley and with Senator Solon, Senator Prettner Solon, to make sure that we do address the concerns that were raised by the Office of the Legislative Auditor. For a number of years now, these county-based purchasing organizations have had a free ride, not paying for any of the costs of the expenses of their audits or of the other issues that they have to take care of. Those things are all covered under our licensure laws by either the licensure fee or the per member per annum fee that we pay, or the bills that we get when audits are done, both quality audits and the financial audits of plans. While this may seem like a large sum of money, we think it's fairly small in terms of the protection that it provides to the employee enrollees and that it should provide to the public so that they know what's going on in terms of fiscal audits and quality audits of the plans. We would point out, as we did strongly in the testimony as these bills moved along, that the legislative auditor's report was critical not only of county-based purchasing but of plans, but suggested some ways of fixing those things, and we think that this bill goes a long ways towards doing that. Madam Chair and members, if there are questions, we'd be happy to try and address them.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Coring, so I agree with you that the plans should have to have reserves, but that could be done next year as a separate bill. I don't believe that kind of a bill would have a fiscal impact on it necessarily. I mean, most of the counties that are involved in county-based purchasing, the counties themselves have reserves. If they want to be involved with this county-based purchasing, they could loan money to the plan to get reserves, and then over time it could be paid back. So I think the other provisions in the bill, it's important that the county-based purchasing organizations pay for their own audits, I think, rather than asking the other health plans to do it. It's really not fair to the other health plans to have to assume administrative costs for audits that aren't really anything to do with their own health plan. So I think that's sort of some of the things that this language that is left is trying to get at.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I'm sorry.
Representative Earhart.
Well, Mr. Chairman, what is the result of not adopting this? We retain current law, and that does what?
As Representative Earhart, that would, in effect, we would have to remove this bill because it would not be in financial balance. And so then current law would just continue on how we regulate health plans and how we regulate county-based purchasing.
If we were to strike Section 8 from this bill, the bill would be out of balance? Is that?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. What sections make it out of balance?
Senator Lurie, the whole bill requires certain things to be done by the human services, and that carries a cost with it. And if we don't have some way to pay for that cost, then the bill would be out of balance. Originally, this in the House, it started out as just a, I think, a general fund obligation, but that when we got removed from the 1812, then there was no money that was sent here with it. So Senator Solon attempted to keep the bill alive by changing it to a fee.
So this whole article is the county-based purchasing article.
Right. And health plans. It's not just county-based purchasing. The legislative auditor had some serious concerns about some of the health plan reporting as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Berglund.
Well, maybe while we hear from the next witness, we could just ponder the idea that maybe the Office of Legislative Auditor portion related to county-based purchasing not be in this bill, and you could take the House bill through the Finance Committee with the fees in it and have the bill be a separate bill. There is no deadline on bills that are in the Finance Committee, and I'm sure since the language is included in the omnibus bill, that original House file must be laying in the Finance Committee still.
Right.
So that would be another alternative.
Mr. Chairman, if I might just briefly comment on a couple of other things, one of them being that Senator Berglund is correct. This does make some changes to the way health plans will be doing business, not things that we are particularly in favor of, but in order to move this bill along, that is one of the things that we've been willing to look at. And the other piece that I would point out is that there's been an argument made that it would impose a financial hardship on the counties to try and bring up their reserves to the level that's required statutorily of health plans. And while that may be the case, I would point out that other health plans that have started since we had the original reserve requirements in place have had to come up with money, cash on the barrel, to put into a bank account that can be drawn upon by the Commissioner of Health in the event that there are financial problems and the plans are put into insolvency. And that has happened, and it does not give those health plans time to phase those in either. Mr. Chairman, again, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. If there are further questions, I'd be happy to take them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Ms. Caldwell.
Mr. Chair, members, Patricia Caldwell from the Association of Minnesota Counties. I just wanted to clarify, I guess, a couple of things and maybe reiterate what Mr. Lehman has just said. First, Senator Coring, in relation to your comment about the reserve requirements, that was at least in the original language of this bill, those reserve requirements were phased in over a period of time. And my understanding from the four, I guess the four, including Steadfast County-based purchasing organizations, is that they would not object and they felt that they could meet those reserve requirements. So even though I know that is not in this version of the bill at that point, I just wanted to make that clear because I'm not sure if everyone understood that. And then secondly, I think that speaking on behalf of the county-based purchasing groups, which is about, I think it's 27 counties at this point, so, a substantial number of counties. The administrative cost piece is something that we had not seen before this morning and haven't had an opportunity to look at how it would affect those counties and what kind of hardship it might impose on them. And so just the fact that this has not been considered in the process of moving the bills to the floor, it seems, I guess, somewhat inappropriate to bring it up at this point.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I would just suggest that we lay aside the portions of Article 3 that relate to the Office of Legislative Auditor report and let that bill go separately on its own. Then the reserve requirements can be still addressed in there, and if people want to keep negotiating about the fees, they can do that, and we don't.
Can I just say something?
Senator Corrin.
The reason why I'm concerned, as I've reiterated this before, is right now one of my counties has to come up with $1 million. And, I've heard the political rhetoric over the last couple of years of, if we don't pass a transportation bill, it's going to keep falling on the property taxes. We've seen property taxes just increasingly go up. And I guess I'm concerned that if the reserve falls on the property taxes, this could be a big concern to my constituents, and so that's a big deal to me, Mr. Chairman.
Well,
so.
Senator Corrine, I think we should table this particular amendment now, but we would be back to current law anyway,
right,
even if we pass this.
Okay.
And the counties would not be required to have a reserve. That's current law, and that's what would be the law if this passed. What's new, and I didn't realize how new it was, is the fees that were put in.
Okay.
And those fees were not discussed in the House. So I would agree that we should lay this section aside. It will probably cause us to have to be back here at 10 o'clock to sign the recompense report.
Mr. Chairman, I think there is other language in here, so I would move that all of the language except for the recommendations related to the bill that relates to the OLA report be adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that the only two sections that would not relate to the report that I'm aware of would be sections 10 and 18. Section 10 is the sole source language that was originally in Article 1 of the bill. It was also in the OLA bill, so I moved it back here, but it could certainly go back into Article 1. That was in the bill that Senator Morey had, and Section 18 codifies that language. I think everything else is directly related to the OLA.
So that would be my motion, that we not adopt those other sections, only adopt those that don't deal with that we actually had in the Senate version that came to the conference committee.
Mr. Chairman, does President Arp offer backup by the property taxpayers?
No.
Does not?
No, those other sections don't have anything to do with property taxes.
We're only including that with this amendment, which you're going to lay aside for a while. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
Well, my intent would be to see if we can get that bill moving in the House, but I'm not sure that's going to happen.
There was other language in this article that came into that was in the conference committee on the part of the Senate already. It had passed the Senate that has nothing to do with the Office of Legislative Auditor report. So I'm just moving that those couple of sections be adopted and the rest of it not be adopted.
We have more people wishing to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Phil Griffin again with me is Anna Tachman from UCare, Minnesota. As we read what Senator Berglund is suggesting as an amendment, I believe you would be codifying under Section 18 the sole source county-based purchasing provision that's in the bill, which we are opposed to.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the language in Section 10 was an agreement with Prime West South Country and the Department of Human Services in the Senator Lori bill, and we never agreed to codify that language in our negotiations. That's always been session law.
Well, we can just instruct the staff to do that as a part of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Any other discussion of the motion to just do Section 10 and 18?
Is that just Section 10.
Section 10, and that would
go into the health care Article 1.
Go into health care Article 1. Any further discussion? Senator Corrine.
So Section 10, we're adopting that there. How does it?
Somebody, we had a long debate about that on the floor.
We did?
You're good.
Is it okay for Crowley and Morrison? I didn't know it was in there.
It's okay.
Is it okay? You sure?
Brian West and South Country support.
All right. Okay.
That's yours.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. White pointed out that it would be much simpler to just keep that one section as a separate article instead of putting it into a different article at this time in the evening. So it would be the same effect. We'll just have Article 3 with just one section remaining.
Okay.
That would be my motion then.
So any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Berglund's motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So that motion passes.
As long as we have to come back in the morning with...
Is that 10 tonight?
Yep.
10 tonight.
At 10 tonight. I'm wondering if my other... Can we get my other...
The original
shell,
is that
going to
hold it up one?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can do a shell then, can you?
Yeah. I'd like to renew my motion that Article 2, Section 3, page 48, line 10, in the Senate version, strike may and replace that with shall.
Has everybody heard that motion, and is there any further discussion? We discussed it earlier, so all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding you wanted to adopt some adoption language, too. I apologize for the document that's being handed out, but this was the... this is the language that was adopted yesterday in the child welfare bill, which includes some technical cleanup language. What this is, it generally allows adopted individuals to get access to birth records. And there were just some cross-reference corrections, and the one major difference between this language and the language that the House handed out in this article is on page 84, the subdivision one relating to the proper affidavit to access the birth records. So I guess if there was a motion, it would be to adopt. You can, I guess, call it whatever you'd like.
This was a greasy.
Yeah, I would move that the language that Ms. White has just had handed out to us, it's been worked out by the authors on adoption, be incorporated into the conference committee report. This is a bill that passed the Senate floor. I believe it was also included in the omnibus bill on the part of the Senate, and so we each have a position on it, and this has been agreed to by the authors.
Any discussion of that motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So that section is adopted.
Is there any other?
Not that I know of, Mr. Chair, Senator.
I think that completes the items that were under consideration.
So before we adjourn, I will ask the members to hang around or go out to eat, but we need to sign this tonight and as soon as they can get it redrafted, and that will be certainly no sooner than. And, yes, if you would give Jen your cell phone number, she can call you and tell you when it's ready. Senator Corian.
What's the purpose of signing it at 10 o'clock? I mean, I have no problem with that, but I just...
We are to have it done tonight.
Oh.
So if it's 10 o'clock or if it's 10:15, whenever it is, we have to sign the report tonight.
So we can't do it at 8 o'clock in the morning?
No. We're already past our instructed deadline.
So with that, this conference committee is adjourned.
Where are you going to meet?
That's back here.
Right here.
166, that was the...